On a Saturday morning while traveling to a church camp, the Slate family van was hit head-on by a car traveling at over 90 miles per hour. Parents Jim and Janet were severely injured, as was their 6-year-old daughter Haley. 8-year-old Hannah and Joseph, age 5, lay paralyzed from the waist down. Their 4-year-old daughter Hope died at the scene. For people of faith, this tragedy raises some serious questions about God. One might ask, where was God at a time like this? Is God all-powerful and in control of even times like these, or is he only a spectator to our suffering? And how is it possible that he actually allows such tragedies to invade our lives? Author, artist, and public speaker Johnny Erickson Tada, who for more than 35 years has lived as a quadriplegic, will explore the goodness of God in the shadows of suffering. Discover a treasure in the darkness on this day of discovery.
On another warm July day, 3 decades prior to the Slate's accident, I too entered that same world of physical disability. I had just graduated from high school and I was preparing for college. My sister and I went to the beach on the Chesapeake Bay, and I swam out to a raft anchored offshore. I took a breath and dove into the water, and in that moment, my life changed. I was paralyzed from the neck down. During recovery, I had a lot of questions about life and about God.
The question that kept plaguing me at first was, why me? Why not somebody else? Why not a neighbor, a friend, someone else across town? And the very question itself raised an image of God throwing dice or God spinning a roulette wheel, and the idea that God could be that capricious and that offhanded by willy-nilly picking, choosing whomever should might get slapped broadsided with this suffering, to me, was more terrifying than the accident itself. You know, that question, why, is so funny. It's so strange. It's so odd. It's never dry or inert or unemotional. It's always, why? And aimed at a person, aimed at somebody. Somebody's got to pay, somebody's got to explain here. Why?
The most difficult whys come when we have done nothing wrong, when we suffer for a mistake or a sin or a crime committed by someone else. Jim and Janet's precious daughter was dead. 2 of their young children were paralyzed. Even the man that hit them had pleaded not guilty for what he had done. Why, God? Why? I know what it is like to cry out to God, why? And I know what it's like to hear the silence after my prayer. And as time goes by, the question changes. Instead of asking God why, the question becomes, can I trust God with this?
And so when we ask why, I think all we want God to do is be a daddy, to reach down and pick us up and hold us to his breast and pat us on the back and say, there, there, honey, daddy's here, God is here, everything's gonna be okay. I think that's all we want when we ask why. We just want the fatherly assurance that our life is not spinning out of control, it's not in some nightmarish chaos, that somehow, in some divine way, everything is gonna be okay, it's gonna be okay. When I was first injured, I needed to know that God had his hands on the wheels of my life. I needed to know how and to what extent he was in control of this suffering. It frightened me to death to think he took his hands off the wheel and somehow lost control and was helpless to do anything about my disability. And I was plagued with questions like, if God is powerful and God is good, then why wasn't he powerful enough to stop it? And if he was, and he could have stopped it but didn't, then how in the world can he be good? I think that's the problem that most of us wrestle with. And the answer I found is a little convoluted, but boy, it helped me. And that is, if God didn't control suffering or evil or hardships or catastrophes, then, oh my goodness, evil and catastrophes and suffering would come barreling at us uncontrolled. And I don't know about you, but I cannot live in a world of unrestrained evil. I can't abide a world in which there's no divine hand holding back the flood of maladies and ailments and cancers and diseases and deformities and accidents and illnesses and injuries. Oh God, you must be in control. Please don't take your hands off the wheel for a nanosecond. It takes faith to believe that, but I did. And I think the Slates did, and it has helped enormously. It's natural to ask, how can this suffering be God's will in my life? I remember when I asked that question, a friend of mine just answered it with a question back. He said, well, Johnny, let me ask you something. Look at Jesus' life. He went to the cross. Do you think that was God's will? Well, I mean, I didn't know much about the gospel story, but sounded good to me. Sure, it was God's will that Jesus go to a cross. And I mean, we've been talking about it for the last 2,000 years. I guess it's God's will. But then my friend said, but consider Johnny. It involved torture. It involved murder. It involved mock justice. It involved treason from someone like Judas Iscariot. I mean, how can any of that be God's will? Justice, injustice, murder, torture, treason. But yet, God permits what he hates. He hates all those things. He hates diving accidents. He hates spinal cord injuries. He hates the fact that drunk drivers careen into the front end of cars. He hates these things. But yet, he permits, allows for these things to happen, those things he hates, to accomplish something that he loves. And what is it that he loves? He loves the look on Janet Slate's face, or Jim's, my face, that looks trustingly up to him and says, I believe you. I know that you're after something in my life that goes far deeper than the physical, far deeper than hands that work or feet that walk. It's the changed heart. It's the refined soul that's settled. It's peace that's profound. It is hope buoyant and new. It is a positive perspective on life. It is the ability to share that with others who are hurting. God permits things he hates to accomplish that kind of stuff, because that's the stuff he loves. Whenever I begin to feel, even now, even still, the darkness of confusion or discouragement cloud my vision, I think back on a trip I once took with my mom to Carlsbad Caverns. We went way down into the pit of this cavern, and the guide turned out the light. It was so dark and so frightening. You could not see your hand in front of your face. And yet, in the darkness, I heard my mother's voice, and I found her hand. And never did that hand feel so comforting and securing than when, as a little girl, I found it in the dark. And I believe that suffering is very much like that. God, because he is a mysterious God and his ways are far beyond ours, God knows sometimes often when to let the darkness fall through an accident, an illness, a disappointment, a heartache. But when he does, we hear his voice. We reach out. We find his hand. And never, never does the hand of God feel so warm, feel so secure, feel so comforting as when in the dark. And that's the treasure in darkness that can be found.